McCarthy will be available to... Oh, no. No, I guess CNN doesn't care enough. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, Candy Crowley jumped right in and seemed to really get you. I require more Candy. If you can, get her on the program more frequently. She was a ton of fun to listen to. Thanks, Dennis. It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
I was just thinking of intro music for that. Like, I want Candy.
Fantastic. Well done. The Candy Man, something. All right. It's 503-773-2970. What day is it? 503-733-2970. Hi, I've been here for 7 months. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
His fiancée wants Amnesia L back. The fiancée of a man who turned up in Denver with amnesia says she wants him back. Penny Hansen was engaged to 40-year-old Jeff Ingram when he left Olympia in early September to visit his mom in Alberta, Canada. On September 10th, he turned up in Denver, but Ingram said he didn't know who he was or how he got there. And Hansen didn't know where he was.
Now, I didn't think amnesia was a thing that really happened. I thought amnesia was...
The ratings get low.
Just some... Seriously, they saved the head! I thought it was just some crap that happened on Gilligan's Island when he got hit by, the falling coconut or whatever, and then he turned invisible.
No, it can happen to anyone. And apparently, it wasn't until this past weekend that Hansen saw her fiancé, who was calling himself Al, on television. Several television networks have featured him to help identify him. And because true amnesia is so rare, well, now Penny says she wants him back in Olympia. And who wouldn't want to return?
Now, I'm unclear about this.
She still wants to be his wife, whether Jeff or Al remembers her or not.
And Jeff and Al are the same person?
Yeah.
All right, let's back up here.
His real name is Jeff Ingram.
His real name is Jeff, and he's from where?
Olympia.
He's now where?
He's in Denver, also known as Amnesia Al.
How did he get the name Al?
Well, because it rhymes with amnesia, and it's easy to remember.
Okay, how did he get from there to there?
That they don't know.
So they have no idea. Well, this is fascinating. How do they know he has real amnesia? How do they know he's not faking it?
We don't.
See, because by definition, isn't amnesia impossible? You could fake it, and it's impossible to diagnose. It's impossible to prove.
Right.
Like, you would have no... Correct. Like, I could just come in tomorrow. I could just do the whole show. I have no idea. Just call me Ted. And have no idea. But it's impossible to... Well, is he in debt or something? Was he, like...
It doesn't say.
Banging a stewardess?
No.
It seems likely that all right. Well, it's all very confusing. So now the wife wants him back. Is she hideous?
I don't see a picture of her.
All right. Well, who's to say?
I'll try to find a picture.
All right. She's
from Olympia.
Unlikely that you would be able to end up in Denver from Olympia, have no idea how you got there, and to have full-on, like, screaming Gilligan's Island amnesia, yet to have no physical symptoms, no tangible signs of how it happened. I call shenanigans on this whole thing right now. This is like that Elizabeth Smart kidnapping in Utah. This is more than meets the eye. Kind of a story. Rick, this email says, damn you. Damn you to hell. I just went to your blog and saw your link to the Christina Aguilera photo. Have you seen the photo of Christina Aguilera? Okay, don't look at it quite yet. I cannot open it at my workplace. As you indicated, it is not safe for work. God damn you for posting that link for posting the link all red and candy-like, beckoning me to click it. I find my mouse passing over it, wanting to take the plunge, but I know my lame ass could get fired for checking it out. Christina Aguilera is hot, but now I have to wait until the next 7 goddamn hours are done before I can look at it. I won't get anything else in for the rest of the day. Damn you! Crap, he says. That's rough. Now, it's not like a porn picture or something, but there is, she's wearing some, well, I don't even want to describe it now. See, now I feel like to make everybody just, I have to torture everyone. Okay, you should check out this photo. It's at rickemerson.com. And I'm trying to remember exactly where it's from. I don't think they give the origin. Okay, it's that link right there. Now, check out this photograph of Christina Aguilera, who, by the way, has just become hot to the nth degree. She's like hot to the power of 10 now. Look at that. Look at that. Who's daddy's bad little girl?
Just like a girl. Oh.
Hello.
That's weird. My headphones just went out.
No, your microphone isn't working.
Oh.
Now yours isn't working.
There we go. And hello.
They're pushing some buttons over here.
Best show ever.
Okay. No, but it looks like the girl from The Grudge.
The dead
she,
one?
She looks, I can, she looks like somebody, but I can't quite put my finger on who it is. I can't quite, she does look, and I don't think it's anybody I know in real life, more is the pity. She does look like somebody, but I can't.
She looks kind of like Ashley Simpson when she first started out.
Maybe that, maybe, but if she'd had the nose fixed from the beginning, like if,
yeah.
like if her face had always
totally.
Been normal. So if Ashley Simpson, how old is Ashley Simpson relative to Christina Aguilera? She's younger than Christina Aguilera, right?
Yeah, but not by much.
All right. So, if, yeah, so maybe when Ashley Simpson first came out and she was all punky and whatnot and she was all with the jet black hair and so forth, but if she had always had the face work done. And then you will note that the thing that makes Christina Aguilera, the distinguishing characteristic in this photograph, and they have a, like an enlarged view of it in the upper left-hand corner, is that now her right bosom, her right nipple appears to be pierced. Which is fantastic. And so that is a great... There are no words. And I have to say this. Now, I don't mean this to sound lecherous. But I don't know whether she's had implants done or something.
She definitely has had implants.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can see, but I mean, you can never tell. Because it's so hard for me to trust magazine covers now. Because you'll see...
Have you seen how teeny she is? She's like less than 100 pounds, like 5'1", and has these huge ball boobs. They're fake.
They look
no,
okay there.
They look great. If I ever get my boobs done, I want to get...
Find the guy
hers.
That did that.
Yeah.
No, yeah. And see, that's the thing about that, like the Tara Reid thing. That's what freaks you out because you like to think that if you have enough money, your plastic surgery will end up being good. But Tara Reid is a living, shining example of that. It's not always the case. Whoever did Christina Aguilera's implants, though, then they are fantastic. And I mean that simply as an aesthetic observation. So that is. It's not the hottest picture ever, but that's like the hottest picture you're going to see this week. I mean, she is stunning. And I don't know what it is that she's done to become so hot. I mean, okay, she has implants, but I don't think she's had any other work done. It's just one of those things where it's like she was always kind of cute, but you know, there's like absolute unanimity of opinion on her now that everyone on earth acknowledges that she has just become the hottest thing on two legs. It's because when she first came out, she had like that USO girl look when she first came out like 6 months ago. But it's not just that, obviously, because this is 100 miles away from that. And I know that I'm going on and on about a picture that nobody can see. But if you are not at a workplace or if you're at a work where they just don't care, like CBS Radio, I encourage you to go to my website now and click on the jolly red candy-like shiny link that taunts you. And look at this picture of Christina Aguilera in leather pants and a see-through top. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Speaking of beauty, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton's challenger claims the former first lady was ugly and has spent millions of dollars on plastic surgery to improve her appearance. Did you ever see a picture of her back then? Woo, said Senator John Spencer. Speaking
fantastic.
Of his appearance, I don't know why Bill Clinton married her.
Oh, he didn't really say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You can't. Who?
Allegedly.
Who's this guy?
His name is John Spencer, who's Hillary Clinton's opponent. GOP challenger.
Oh, man. You know, that's just the stuff you don't say, but Bill Clinton will have you killed.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton will have you taken. Look, I don't care what anybody thinks of the relationship between those two. Whether it's a real marriage or a fake marriage, whatever. That's a couple that takes care of each other. You talk that way about Hillary, man, you're going to end up in a garbage bag somewhere. You don't want
to
do that.
Well, Spencer said he did sit next to New York Daily News reporter Ben Smith on his way to the candidate's debate in Rochester last week, but never once mentioned anything about plastic surgery or Clinton's physical appearance.
Uh-huh. Anytime they accuse you of saying something and you deny saying it, you said it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that thing. What is it, that thing that Elizabeth Edwards, John Edwards' wife, said about Hillary Clinton the other day. She said, "I'm a much happier person than she is. Does she look like she has a happy marriage to you?" And they asked her later, she's like, "I never said that," which of course means that you absolutely did. Speaking of which, it's about goddamn time that those Mel Gibson tapes get released. It's just infuriating me that those things have never come out. Why is it that everything that we don't care about leaks out and those are sitting in a vault somewhere still secure? The whole thing just pains me. Dusty, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Christina Aguilera is hot because she's a dirty girl, and deviants like us love chicks like that.
I guess. Maybe that's why the photos of her from, I don't know, when she was on Rolling Stone a couple months ago, again, where she looked like a USO girl, she looked like a Betty Grable thing. Maybe that's why those are hot, because you know she's not legitimately, and maybe this is the thing about Britney Spears. Maybe
she's
this is
two steps from a barfly, so it kind of makes it seem like, you know, a guy like me could possibly, you know, hit that or whatever.
Well, who's to say? I mean, really, to be honest, I think you'd probably have a better chance with Britney Spears. Because Britney Spears seems trashy and I'm...
Well, you can convince her that,
you're just dismissing it. Britney-ish, Mitney, whatever. I'm just saying that Christina, though, like I know her, but I'm just saying Britney Spears just seems to have, she seems trashy and kind of dumb, and so it seems like you and I might have a better shot with Britney at this point.
Yeah, it'd be like Kevin Federline said it was okay, Britney, let's go.
Serious, all right, you know, or if you had like a phone card or something. Look at this, I got a Best Buy card instead. Okay, whatever. Now, we got Britney news coming up later on, but you're right about Christina Aguilera. And Christina Aguilera has got... I don't know.
She dresses so incredibly hot.
She,
whoever is giving her clothes to wear or whatever, designing that, and is spot on.
It is worth noting, by the way, that it is photos like this that will make Dusty and myself it just sound like two Mr. Blackwells standing on the red carpet with Joan Rivers outside the Academy. Whoever dresses her does a bang-up job. And you're right. And here's the other thing about Christina Aguilera is that video for Dirty, notwithstanding, she sluts up really well without looking too skeezy. She doesn't look...
Exactly.
There was that video where she looked all greasy and unappealing, but she doesn't look... she doesn't look too sleazy. All right.
Madonna. Yeah. I mean, she's just like she's just like Madonna.
Madonna,
her heyday.
It's true.
Not Madonna.
All right. Thank you, sir. There we go. That's Dusty. By the way, let's talk about Hillary Clinton for a second. Now, I don't know that Hillary Clinton has had work done. It seems to me that she may have had some tightening done, maybe like a lift on her face or whatever. The rest of her, I've seen photos of her when she was like, did she go to Radcliffe or some crap or whatever it is when she hooked up with Bill Clinton and she was working on the Watergate era and all that. I've seen photos of her back then, and Hillary Clinton's never been a knockout. I mean, she's kind of a plain looking woman, one might say, but she's never been flat out screaming ugly. I mean, a lot of guys will look at Hillary Clinton, she's ugly. You know what? You don't know from ugly. I mean, Hillary Clinton certainly is, she's a sort of a matronly-looking woman at this point, or at least it was during the Clinton administration. She's not like she has a third eye and a snaggle tooth or something, but she kind of looks the same as she always has. I think she's just got a stylist. Her hair, especially, it seems like she has a lot of, she puts a lot of effort into that hair, because there was that famous study that came out during the 92 election cycle where the voters responded negatively to her hair, and so you saw her from that point on, and she kind of had a softer look going on. And she does look, I think her tendency is just to look very butch. So, I think she has to work hard to counterbalance that. So, yeah.
So anyway, this fellow who's challenging her, John Spencer, said he never said anything bad about Hillary.
This is
he was in a giddy mood making statements. So I think in his conversational mind, with a jet engine blowing in his right ear, we had a rambling conversation about the '60s. That's what our conversation was about, and how he came out with some of those ridiculous fabrications is beyond.
All right.
And he's trying to set the record straight on these comments.
No statements about plastic surgery or any of that.
You know that...
That was strange.
That was weird. Let's hear that again.
No statements about plastic surgery or any of that.
That's weird.
That is strange.
That's like it's burping the next bit of the soundbite. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, this is exactly like he's denying it. It'll come out on tape at some point. Let's see. Rick, I just heard you and Tim discussing the Amnesia article. I heard the story last night on the news, and the odd thing is the same thing happened to this guy about 10 years ago. Is that true?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Is this the second time? How would they even know that?
It's recurring amnesia.
Oh, and it's just like every time he runs up a bad visa bill that he can't take care of himself. I call, until there's medical proof, I call complete. Look at this. I'm now going to exercise my role as media pundit. With almost no information to go on and having heard only the barest rudiments of the story, I am now making a proclamation of truth as to the absolute veracity of this. I call complete and total shenanigans on this. This guy's faking. Because there is no way, like unless you slip up, primal fear style, you know, there's just no way to tell when a guy really has amnesia when he doesn't. All right. Anyway, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, Hillary said right now she's focusing on her re-election and nothing else at the present time.
I love my life. I am grateful. I feel blessed. You know, I have a wonderful family.
She tries so hard to be personable. She's like a cyborg. You know what Hillary Clinton is? Hillary Clinton is like one of those computer programs they have on the net where you talk back and forth at the computer, one of those conversation simulation engines where you go there and, you know, and you say, like, hello, you know, professor, you know, would you like to play a game, Joshua? And then you type in yes, and the computer tries to talk English to you. This is an ongoing test that scientists have used for artificial intelligence to try to create a piece of computer software that can speak back and forth with you and hold conversations in plain English, and it tries, it does its very best, but it stutters and staggers, and it's a little jagged and awkward. That's how Hillary Clinton is when she tries to sound warm and personable, because I don't believe she's either of those things.
She says she lives a charmed life despite talks to the contrary.
I love my life. I am grateful. I feel blessed. You know, I have a wonderful family.
I am reading these words off a piece of paper. I am told that they convey personability.
That sounds sincere.
Yeah, it really did.
That was a good sentence.
All right. Now people are just sending me endless photos of Christina Aguilera. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Here's Tim Riley.
A severed body, cut in half lengthwise, was discovered over the weekend on the
train tracks. Wait, lengthwise?
Yes, lengthwise.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Was discovered over the weekend on the train tracks in downtown Portland.
Excellent.
The body was discovered near the 1400 block of NATO Parkway by an Amtrak driver at 9:15 in the morning. The body is described as that of a white male in his 20s, 5 feet 10 inches tall. Roughly, he was 160 pounds with short brown hair. He had a wristband on his arm. It looked like he'd been out to a nightclub, but no other ID on him. It was not clear if the death was a suicide. How do you cut yourself in? I don't understand. Oh, I see. Oh, whether he was hit by accident by a train. A spokesman for Portland police say the man was not carrying any ID, but was wearing what looked like a wristband. May have come from a nightclub.
There's some sort of a joke there. That's it. I'm just, it's a Monday. My humor isn't quite. It's only 90% right now. All right.
Meanwhile, we got this. A freak accident appears to have forced Jason Newsted out of the upcoming debut tour for the supergroup. What's this called? Rockstar Supernova.
Is the freak accident that nobody's buying tickets and everybody's completely forgotten about the program and nobody remembers who Lucas Rossi is anymore and the entire thing has slid off our pop culture consciousness like it was made out of Teflon?
Yes.
Okay.
He'll undergo surgery after severely injuring both shoulders while trying to catch a bass head that fell off
a his bass head?
Or is that a bass head?
I'm a bass? Sure. Oh, from like an amplifier.
Maybe.
A bass head.
Big fish.
A Billy Bass.
Yes. Or Lance Bass. I'm freaking, said Newsted. My heart is, what is this saying? My heart was set on finally getting on the road with the guys.
Sure was.
Well, my main focus now is to build myself back up to 100% in whatever it is. And best of luck to everyone as well.
Yeah, I wish you well in future endeavors. Does it say who's going to be filling in for him?
It doesn't know.
Oh, no one cares. Oh, now see.
Well, they're downsizing.
It's almost tempting to go to that show now just because you know it's going to be empty. That Rockstar Supernova, which I'm fine with now. Doesn't matter to me. See, Storm's not going to be. It's not just Storm. They dumped Storm. They dumped Magni, who I think we weren't big fans of, but who we all liked. And they dumped the house band. So now I have no more. And of all of those guys, Jason Newsted was the guy I liked the most because I'm, you know, he seemed to have a lot of sincerity, a lot of integrity. He was, you know, he did talk like a real musician. So now they've officially gotten rid of the last person on that tour that I care about. So now I can just root for its failure and demise. I don't even think Navarro's going to be there.
I bet it's going to change venues. I bet it's going to end up at like the Roseland or something, a smaller place.
It's got to. I mean, what possible motivation?
What were they trying to do? They sold for the tickets at the Rose
Garden? The Memorial Coliseum, which is not the Rose Garden, but which is not the Roseland either.
That's wishful thinking.
Memorial Coliseum, which is where I saw Nader after the election, I think it was. And it was, I mean, it's a big place.
Is that where Al Gore is going to be tomorrow?
No, Al Gore is going to be at the Rose Garden tomorrow. But the Memorial Coliseum, it's a large place.
Yeah,
it's not.
Storm was there, I'm sure a lot more people.
Totally. Well, there's not because
I'm sure that would be no problem. But now,
even Dave Navarro, who we all kind of like, he's not even going to be there because the Panic Channel is no longer on it. So, I mean, I can officially now just root for that thing to implode because they've taken away all of my interest. Because the house band is now on tour with Paul Stanley, because Paul Stanley's solo album is coming. He's coming to the Aladdin or something for that. So anyway, Corey, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
This is me.
Only you know for sure, but I suspect that the answer is yes. Hello,
it looks
Corey.
Like you.
You didn't use my name. I didn't know. Sorry.
Okay, Corey. Hi.
There's another disclaimer you need to add to that link.
The Christina Aguilera photo?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely not safe to be looking at while you're driving either.
Now, are you looking at that with some sort of a handheld device, so to speak?
With my phone. Of course, I heard it and had to see it.
Of course.
Driving along Googling isn't safe necessarily either, but then after seeing that, it was even worse.
It's true. What are your thoughts on the photograph?
Oh, my.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, oh, my.
Now, somebody has just sent me the entire photo shoot.
Really?
What they purport to be the entire photo shoot. And I'm unclear about whether this is... I'm unclear about whether this is the same session or not. Now, here's the thing. Now, Sarah might know this. Somebody has sent me a whole series of photographs. She looks very similar, but it's her and Justin Timberlake. Does that make any sense to you?
No.
That's like from the Dirty Tour when they went touring like 4 years ago.
Would that be these here? Because she looks very similar. The same long jet black hair, a nose piercing.
She doesn't have her nose pierced anymore.
Really? So these must be from a previous time. What about, I can't, it doesn't look like she has the implants here either. Those are great photographs, though. Look at those; are really wonderful. It's like she's got like an Elvira, Mistress of the Dark thing, but
well, maybe is that a new picture that you posted? Could it be an older picture?
The one that I posted is purportedly a brand new photograph. Although I have to profess that I don't know where it's from. So, all right, thank you, Corey.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go. Keep spreading the word, brother. There you go. Let's do one more here, and then we'll break.
Let's see. The president predicts Republicans will keep control of the House and Senate.
Mm-hmm.
The president told this week it remains to be seen whether the resignations of four Republican House members will lower Republican turnout.
Any Republican or Democrat who has betrayed the trust disappoints me, just like it disappoints the voters. In this election, however, those people aren't going to be on the ballot.
And I'm not going to start talking about conspiracies and whatever, because everybody's pointing to the fact that Karl Rove says he's not. He has no doubts that the Republicans are going to retain control, and nobody's worried about it. And he's got to say that. I don't think it indicates anything untoward. That's just the power of positive thinking, that you can just never. That's that whole Republican mantra of always trying to look strong, even when you're not. The Democrats, though, man, I got to tell you this. The Democrats are just going to have to go incinerate themselves. If they cannot, God, if the Democrats can't make gains in this, they're useless in this election. And especially because, they interviewed Nancy Pelosi the other day. And they're like, because the thing is that if the Democrats capture the House, she'll become the Speaker. And they asked her, they're like, well, what office are you going to use? She's like, any office I want, which is her actual
quote.
We'll
have her on in a few minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't. Look, you got to do what the account executives, what the salespeople in radio call managing expectations, which means don't start counting your chickens, friend. You got under promise, over deliver. And the Democrats are already walking. The Democrats are walking in there with like tape measures, getting ready to hang curtains and crap. So if the Democrats get reamed in the election, it's over. It's over. You will never. I'm telling you right now, if the Democrats can't win this time, they will never win anything ever again, ever, 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 and they don't deserve to. Let's break here. Come back. Clyde Lewis around the... Clyde, by the way, who denied hitting on the 16-year-old.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's the boss. I was just going to compliment her and her bass playing abilities.
Yeah, I'm sure. It wasn't her bass that she was talking about.
Yeah. Bass playing abilities. All right. You come back. Clyde Lewis around the corner with news at Ground Zero. Later on, we have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, etc. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program live on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Now, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, the original hairy, scary guy, the host of the Ground Zero Lounge at Dante's from ClydeLewis.com. Clyde Lewis, hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up in your world, brother?
Clyde.
Yeah.
Hi.
How are you?
How much do you remember of Saturday and Saturday nights?
It was all a surreal experience for me.
Yeah.
But, because I wound up with Becca and Kat, and we wound up going to Sabala's and then going to...
Your house?
No.
A greased-up waterbed?
No, not at all. Right. We were just... I had a great time with them. In fact, it was really funny because they didn't want to have anything to do with me, and then we ended up going and having fun. It was a great time.
But then once I chloroformed them, that all changed.
Oh, no, it wasn't that.
When you said, now, Becca and Kat, is this Aaron's friend Kat or Becca's friend Kat? There were two...
Becca's friend Kat.
Two girls
Was she
named...
the blonde one?
She was the blonde,
blonde one.
This is implied you got your dream because he said, I'm going to end this night with a brunette on one arm and a blonde on the other.
That's what I said, didn't I?
Yes, and did you?
This is what you missed. No, you missed it because we went to Aaron's wedding and then later, everybody kind of caravanned off in different directions. We ended up at Sabala's, but Clyde was not content to call it Sabala's. Clyde was like, do you remember doing this? Do you remember constantly referring to the place we were at as the Clydetopia?
I didn't come up with that.
Uh-huh.
It was Scott that came up with that.
All right, we're all
sure.
Clydetopia. He called it Clydetopia because he said that He said, we're all going to go, and it's because of the 3D room and all this other stuff.
And so we're the sideshow.
We do have to give Clyde a round of applause for being the drunkest person at the wedding.
Oh, God. Dude, you don't even... I got a whole page full of Clyde things.
What did I say? I don't remember how. I mean, I know that I was vetoed many times with my answers to all the stupid trivia questions.
Well, let me just say this.
I wanted my Platinos, baby.
Hold on. We're sitting there after the reception. It was late at night. We'd gone to Sabala's. We're sitting there in sideshow. And so every time anybody would walk into the sideshow, whether they were with our party or not, Clyde would just lean back and go, welcome to the Clydetopia!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean horrifying. So here's not to get all bogged down in wedding stuff.
I'm trying to refresh my memory about what I did. I mean, I'm trying to think. All I know is that I walked out and I wound up at a table with some beautiful women and just went home with two beautiful women. So I don't know. Tell me what
went
happened.
Went home with them?
Went home
with
them.
I mean, I went... And I,
this is the sort of thing that you. This is the sort of thing that you say, that then causes misunderstandings later when you use
like,
you
oh, that
phrase. We did not go home, meaning we didn't go home, and you know, we went. They took me home, and I basically showed them. They asked me to show them around Portland. I came with the idea to take them to Sabala's. I said, "We'll go to Sabala's."
You showed them what they asked for, Clyde.
they wanted to see more of.
Actually, they didn't. Actually, I can't believe that they actually hung with me because they thought I was a real dweeb, and then they turned around and decided I wasn't. I thought it was really nice of them.
The best part is how Becca at one point revealed that on Friday or Thursday when we had been at the strip club, she went through the whole night thinking that you were me.
Yeah.
Because nobody really made proper introductions because everybody was busy getting trash and giving dollars to chicks. And so nobody really introduced her properly. And Becca was this sort of tall Betty Page looking girl that is a friend of Aaron's who's in Temple Wedding. And so she tells me on Saturday, she's like, you know, the entire time we were at the strip club on Thursday, I thought that Clyde guy was you.
Yeah.
And so as a result, I thought you were a real skeez, apparently because she feels that you were, or felt that you were a real skeez.
Well, they thought that I was because all of the strippers, of course, at the bar were...
You really do are a magnet for strippers. I don't know what that is, man.
Well...
I don't know whether they can just smell the dollar bills or whatever it is, but strippers are always all over you, wherever we go.
Well, it's just, I don't know what that is, but it's funny because then they were telling, told me, they were very honest. Very honest women. They're from Los Angeles, so very honest women, and they told me that I was a skeez. And I said, I'm not a skeez. I said, I can show you that I'm not a skeez. I'll prove to you I'm not a skeez. And
come to my basement.
And I said, what I'll do is, you know, and I just said, you know, I can show you I'm not a skeez. I'm a really nice guy. Don't worry about it. And so finally they decided that they would take me in their automobile.
Wait, how did you show them?
I showed them. I basically, well, you know me. I got them drinks at Sabala's, and I kind of was a nice guy. You know, that's how I showed them I wasn't skeezed. I was really nice. And
by buying... So, but just by buying...
It worked out well for them.
So really, this is just an object lesson for all the Lycus listeners. So you really just ended the night buying drinks for some women who were
and
there.
And going home with neither of them.
one had to leave on a plane in the morning, and I'm hoping...
Is that what she said?
Up at Dante's tonight.
Was that her story? No, I got an airplane.
No, I asked
plane.
Them if they would meet me at Dante's tonight, and Kat said that she had to leave. And but they did say that if I'm ever in L.A., I should hang out with them. I'd love to. I think they were a lot of fun, a lot of fun. They were very funny, very very smart women, and I had a great time hanging out with them. It was a fun time.
So Clyde, what is this that I hear about you calling me a liar and saying that you weren't checking out the 16-year-old bassist for that band we were watching?
I wasn't checking her out. I said that she was a good bass player and I really liked her look.
You really liked her look.
You liked her look.
And you were telling me how hot you thought she was.
You
and all of a sudden
it's hot. Yeah, I said she's very hot. I mean, she was hot.
All right,
well, then what am I lying about?
Okay, you denied when we were... Do you remember sitting at the coffee shop on Saturday and denying, though, that you were hitting on her? That was actually your quote. You're like, I wasn't hitting on her.
I didn't hit on her. I just asked her if I could buy her a drink.
Okay, that's hitting... buying
See, Clyde never buys me drinks.
Uh-huh.
And we're buddies.
Well, I used to buy you drinks.
That was when you were hitting on me.
Until he figured out you weren't going to give it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That's so bad. No, I would buy you drinks if you'd ask.
Okay, but Clyde.
Huh?
You were totally into the 16-year-old girl until her
so
mom came.
You were mom blocked.
I didn't know she
you
was 16.
You were totally mom blocked.
She was. You told me though that you knew that she that she. You look at me stumbling now. Okay. She looked like...
Are you hitting the phone with something?
No, yeah.
Is your phone being tapped?
No. There's no tap dancers. No, I just...
I know.
I,
oh.
just wanted to talk to her, get to know her, talk to her. Kind of, sort of, I don't know.
Learn what kind of person she is inside.
There was nothing.
So you were not only attempting to sleep with a 16-year-old, you were actually attempting to give
her
alcohol. You were attempting to give the 16-year-old girl enough alcohol that you could sleep with her.
No, that's not true. I just wanted to buy her a drink because I really enjoyed her bass playing.
Uh-huh. Did you offer to buy drinks for the rest of the people in the band?
Actually, no, but I...
Really? That's hard to believe.
No, I did not. No. And didn't I thought I asked you if you wanted a drink. Did I ask you? And you said no, you were leaving. There you go, snag. I asked...
Well, I'm going to be at your thing tonight, so I could definitely
pick
up on
that. You're
going to
be there tonight, really?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go to a show right down near that area, so I'm going to hit it up and... I'm going to bring Kiki. And we'll come
really?
Hang out with you for a while. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to be awkward. All right. Yeah.
No, Kiki's cool. I like
make sure to compliment her a lot, constantly about her looks, and then make sure that her boyfriend hears
Kiki
about
and I,
that.
When we first met, we actually argued. We got in a fight. It was fun.
Yeah, she's full of spice, that girl.
No, she's very, but it was a good fight. I mean, we were fighting over it. I said, how do you know this? And it was like,
it was a slap fight. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you remember heckling the toasters at the wedding?
Oh, my God.
Do you remember heckling Aaron's dad?
Yes.
Here's the thing. Here's a little guide to life. You shouldn't. It's wrong to heckle the groom's father when he's doing the toast. You can't heckle toasters to begin with, but if you really must.
I was sick because I answered that question of the DJ when he asked me.
All right, we should clarify what we're talking about here. So we're all at the reception for Aaron. Aaron Geek in the City got
greatest
married this weekend.
Best reception ever.
Best reception ever. There was lightsaber duels, lightsaber dances.
I have laughed so hard that entire day. Just a room full of
geeks.
Just drunken geeks with lightsabers and like a horrible like conga music.
When
Aaron
and Jen walked in, there was like a Knights of Columbus like sword procession they had to walk through, but it was all lightsabers. And then Boba Fett like blocked their way and they weren't allowed entrance to the wedding until they kissed. It was like the best thing ever.
Right.
So, but anyway, so we're there and they had this great, and by great I mean ridiculous idea that we're all sitting there. We've all been standing like in the sun or in a church. Everybody's been drinking on an empty stomach. Everybody's tired and, you know, it's like alcohol coursing through their veins.
They were eating nothing but spinach turnovers.
Yeah, and really everybody's kind of waiting for the food.
Yeah.
And so the DJ gets up and they do this cruel thing where they uncover like, you know, I don't know, like a dozen different containers of food, just all of this great kind of Mexican food. And then the guy's like, all right, there's the wedding, there's the food buffet. Now, if you are able to answer the following trivia questions about Aaron and Jen's relationship, you will be allowed to eat. Otherwise, you will not. And so then the guys are throwing these trivia questions.
He asked the question, how big was the phone bill between Aaron and Jen when they first called each other? And I guess 300. And so he says, the answer is 200. Then he turned around and he says, oh, it's a misprint. It's actually 300. But we're going to give it to those other people anyway. And I go,
So Clyde, with every passing moment, Clyde is just getting angrier and angrier at the wedding
DJ. And drunker.
And then so we fast forward through dinner, through the round of cocktails, which is probably a bad idea at that point. Laura really summed it up later when she said this. She said that, you know, sometimes you feel like you're sitting at the cool kids table, which I think we kind of did. You know, it's like Sarah and Nate and, you know, me and Clyde and, you know, Scott Daly, who's famous. And, you know, whatever. You know, it's, you know, kind of a cool bunch of people. So we're sitting there. But then later, she's like, you know, sometimes you feel like you're sitting at the cool kids table. And I kind of did for a while. But then later, I felt like I was just sitting at the drunk table. Which is sort of the same thing. Like, the cool kids table became the drunk table. Because as the wedding reception is going on, the toaster happening, Clyde is getting louder and louder and more bellicose. And then they introduce Aaron's dad. They're like, and now Aaron's father...
Chuck.
And Clyde, what kind of name is Chuck? You know, like really loudly.
I said, what's up, Chuck?
Loudly and like almost angrily sounding.
But the best part of the night, I'll screw it, we can totally talk about it. The best man speech, hands down, the greatest thing I've ever heard.
God, it's just Aaron's best man.
Oh, he's talking about what? He's using four-letter words and all.
Oh, God, and so that's the other thing. And again, we should note.
He was drunk, too.
We should note, again, for the record, best wedding ever, best reception ever. But there were many facets and layers to
both. They were awkward, actually. It was very awkward moments there.
And I am so, you know me, I get very, I'm very shy and very whatever when there are sort of older people or family members or, you know, I mean, I try to be, in public, I try to be sensitive to the fact that it's a mixed crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's like, I can't even bring myself, this is why it was so weird that Aaron's sister was at the strip club with us at the bachelor party, because I cannot even bring myself to swear in front of family members.
Right.
And so, we're at Aaron's wedding reception, and there's just lots of the many generations of people, you know, from the very young to the old. And, you know, some of them are very traditional, come from very ethnic or religious backgrounds or both. And so we're all on our best behavior. The best man gets up to give his toast, and I think he was just totally lit at that point. And it's just replete with four-letter words and, like, talk. It's just, you suddenly felt like you'd been dropped into, like a John Hughes
film.
No,
he was obviously bringing up anecdotes of their friendship that Aaron really didn't want his parents to still know.
They weren't supposed to be discussed.
I know, we were smoking crack behind the shed.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff you don't want to hear about.
Remember when we strangled that hooker with piano wire?
it was really weird because, I mean, there were so many things going on. Like, old women wanting me to conga with them, I thought was kind of bizarre.
Oh, and the best part, by the way, was at the end, the climax of his toast, which seemed to go on for about 40 minutes.
So long that the microphone died twice.
The best man's toast went on for so long that the battery actually died on the microphone.
Died on his microphone. And did you guys catch that low-frequency hum that was going on while he was speaking?
No, that's just in your head.
Stereo up, turned up too loud. I'm thinking, that was just annoying enough.
But then at a certain point, everybody at our table was either so tired or so drunk or both.
I feel like I was at a bad Thanksgiving dinner because especially when Sarah goes, "Will you eat my plantain?" I'm going, "What?"
Everything
plantain, by the way.
Everything in the best man's toast, though, which seemed to go on endlessly. Everything started to sound really hilarious and perverse to us, and so he's just going on and he's using lots of profanity, and everybody's looking at the ground and shifting around uncomfortably, and we're all trying so hard to hold in our laughter and our giggles. You are beginning to heckle more and more loudly. Everybody can hear it. Nate, Sarah's boyfriend, Nate, is starting to say, like, I think I'm just going to stand up and start applauding right now. We should all just stand up and applaud, and maybe it'll end.
What about that kid that went, ha-ha, that little one kid that said, oh, it's funny, that he just went, ha-ha, like, all my sons in the audience.
And so we're trying harder and harder to keep control of the situation. Everybody is drunk and finding everything hilarious, and so the best man starts going, and so through the years, Aaron and I have really rubbed off on each other a lot, a whole bunch. which just struck everybody as the most hilarious thing ever. And we just completely lost control at that point. And I think at that point, like, somebody just stepped in and it was just like, oh, I'm ending this now. And they just kind of brought the curtain down on the whole affair.
Oh
my God. So it really was insane. Do you remember trying to impress that Becca girl? We're sitting at Sabala's. And we're all sitting there, and I'm talking to Scott Daly's wife, and the Lauren's talking to Scott, and whatever. Clyde is sitting across from this girl, Becca, who's like 100 feet tall and looks like Betty Page. And he's giving her the whole, and you're lowering your voice into like the sex modulation. Hello, my name is Clyde Lewis.
Yeah.
You killed my father. Prepare to die. And then I just look over, and you're attempting to take Becca's hand while saying, Barbara Bush has the blood of a lizard running through her veins. And, like, only in your world would that be something that you would say to a woman to try to pick up on her.
No, no, no. She was just asking me questions about what I do.
About the blood that runs through Barbara Bush's veins.
And she was just telling me, she says, I hear you talk about a lot of weird things. What's the weirdest thing you can tell me? And I said, well, Barbara Bush is Aleister Crowley's daughter. And I was just giving her a bunch of things. And they were all laughing about it. And then we went over to the other side and had a few drinks over there and hung out with a lot of the people over there, and they came back, and then I had that whole table to myself with all the women sitting around me. I thought it was kind of nice.
The best part, by the way, was we were at Sabala's in the sideshow, and in the main...
Was Hitler working?
He was. Oh. I didn't really talk to him, but he was there, and then in the main room, though, you know what they were doing Saturday at Sabala's in the main room?
The people hanging from hooks?
What?
Oh, sometimes they've had people hanging from hooks.
No. It was the Players Ball with a Z.
Players Ball.
The Players Ball.
There was a Players something happened the night that my car was smashed in. The girl was there.
Let's talk about that. We can talk about that later on this hour. But the Players Ball, so it was endless white men showing up in like homemade, like bad, like Salvation Army pimp suits with like walking sticks.
Oh, yeah.
The best part was, though, and I hate to polish one's own thing.
Well, go ahead.
I hate to massage one's own Foley. But I really looked more like a player than any of the guys. I have to say that it was all about the feather in the hat that I was wearing too.
Outfit. Becca told me all about it.
Yeah.
Becca told me how much of a player you look like.
Did she now?
Oh yeah, she did.
All right then.
I'm not putting anything into this conversation.
Why don't you call Lauren and tell her all about it?
Please don't think anything.
You should call my wife and tell her that Becca's my type.
You know,
no, actually, she's my type, but that's another story.
I know. Well, Rick and I, because isn't she's both of your type? And so I brought it up to Rick, not knowing.
How is she like? I mean, she and I both had a lot in common. And I know we were fighting over her because everybody was fighting over her. She was really...
Let's be clear about this right now. That we weren't fighting over... Claude and I were not fighting over Becca after the wedding. That's just weird. You got to be careful with phrases like that. Because then
everybody loved her. I mean, it was like, you can't miss someone who looks like her.
Well, she's like... I mean, she's like Lucy Lawless. I mean, that really is what she looks
that
like.
That is a good comparison.
She's like an even hotter Lucy Lawless. That is very much what she looked like.
And she'll be at Dante's tonight. She said she will be. So if you guys all want to pack in and see how beautiful this woman is, you know, she's
why don't you set yourself up to fall, Pumpkin. I'm just saying, she might have to
if she doesn't show up, then yeah, I'll set myself to fall, but you know, it's not the first time. But I'm just saying that, you know, we had a good time, and
okay. And
I was hoping she does show up, and I think that in fact I told the other cat, I said, make sure she comes. So hopefully,
bring lots of room.
Drag her if you have to.
Yeah, seriously,
drag her by.
Bring a car with a roomy trunk.
Yeah, just do something because I mean it's like she's really an amazing person. She's really cool, and she's here from Los Angeles, and we should make her feel welcome. At least I tried. So I mean, you know,
I tried, but she escaped. I tried, but I left the key too close. This email says, Rick, Clyde's only interest in the 16-year-old bass player was to ask if she had a younger sister. Bada boom.
That's not funny. Anyway, I
maybe not for you.
For you, yes. Tonight, maybe I should talk about what I'm talking about tonight. That's what I want to do. Maybe that's where he stopped. Okay. Tonight is going to be probably one of the scariest nights of Ground Zero Lounge because we have built up a number of nightmarish visuals and things like that. We're going to talk about what happens when, and I know this is going to sound odd to most people, but people who have attended the lounge the past couple nights, we're going to talk about what happens when you activate a golem with a Hebrew word and then you remove a letter and what happens and the word that's left behind is really creepy. And
is this your plan for seducing Becca? You're going to talk about golem?
No. I mean, if she's scared, fine. I told her I'm a scary guy. We're going to be showing...
Big Daddy Clyde will make it all right.
We're going to show a video called Come to Daddy by Chris Cunningham. Which is a very...
Oh, you know, Scott Dowley was telling me about that guy. He said that this Chris Cunningham, who's made a bunch of videos for Aphex Twin, said that these are the scariest music videos he has ever seen in his life, and his wife concurred. Actually said she wouldn't even watch any more of them because they were so terrifying.
Come to Daddy is one of the most frightening videos. It shows a homunculus coming out of a television, and it's the most scary thing.
Yeah, no,
you scared me the crap out of me. You used to with all those television ghost pictures.
No,
maybe I'm not
going to
go.
We also are going to... we're not going to show the gin footage, but we are going to be showing we're going to show a still from the gin footage where you'll see that there is actually a face on the gin, and the face looks like a typical homunculus or alien gray. It's really a scary thing. And we're going to show pictures of what we call the faces of the Oni or the faces of death, which go from The Exorcist all the way from Gene Simmons, Marilyn Manson to Alice Cooper. And then at the end, we're going to talk about what is known as Wendigo psychosis. Where?
Hold on. Sarah's asking me to scratch her back. Where? Here?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. I'm scratching Sarah's back.
We're also going to talk about Wendigo psychosis. We're back in the 20s
lower?
Working with Paige, and we found this article about Wendigo psychosis. It's about people who have this unsatiable hunger that they look around them and they find that everybody around them looks edible. And it leads us to the story of the Skinwalker, where I went out to the Skinwalker Ranch.
Skinwalker. Skinwalker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, where I went out to the Utah Ranch.
Where
the Skinwalker was. We're going to play the sound of what sounds like this scary human creature that we recorded out there in the middle of nowhere in Utah. So a lot of really scary things.
You just glossed over my Skinwalker, Texas Ranger joke. That's funny.
Well, you just skinned over the fact that you were scratching your back while I was talking about Wendigo psychosis and how, you know, we're also going to talk about why clowns are scary, too, because the Wendigo is actually the Wendigo. The Hopis, when they depict the Wendigo, they depict them as clowns with black face, with white faces and black lips and black eyes, and why the clown is so frightening to people, because it's a representation of death and representation of psychosis. It's really a scary, scary thing. So tonight's going to be one of those scary shows that if you miss it, I mean, and the week after we're going to bring in Rex Church from the Church of Satan, so that's going to be really scary too. But in the meantime, this is going to be a really scary visual show, and we're going to show it and do it, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's 8 o'clock tonight at Dante's, right downtown.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, there you go. Well, tell Becca hello for me.
No, I will. And you can see her. She's going to be there, hopefully. Hopefully. I hope she does.
You're cursing yourself now by this, though. You know that.
I'm saying you can't bring it up.
Oh, I can't say that she's going
to... No, I'm saying you're tempting fate, brother. So...
Well, hopefully now that she knows she's a big star, she'll show up.
She knows she's famous. All right.
She is famous. Anyway.
All right, Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen.
Take care.
Thank you, Clyde. Sir. All right, there you go. Oh, but damn, is it 1 o'clock already?
Is it 1 o'clock?
How did that even happen?
I...
Well, we should... The news hour's off. We'll have to. Well, let's just continue. We'll extend it. We'll come back and we will medically transplant part of this news hour into next hour. So we'll come back. We will continue with Tim Riley. Oh, we have exciting news about it. Can we talk about it? Can we talk about your car on the court date? I don't know. We'll find out. It's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. More to come. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here's a, here's a Tom Petty.
There goes the light.